You Yankees made me sort of obsolete. The colonel returned Keller's salute.
At ease, Lieutenant.
He looked at Henry and went on,
Perhaps it's time we change that, Mr. Brennan. I'm Colonel Richard Avery, and I have a proposition for you.
Henry didn't like the sound of this. Any proposition put forward by a Yankee had to be a bad one. Avery came to his feet. He was tall, broad-shouldered, and beefy. His florid face was topped by thinning gray hair and decorated by thick mutton-chop whiskers. He extended a hand across the desk toward Henry, who ignored it. After a moment, Avery used the hand to gesture toward a chair in front of the desk.
Have a seat, Mr. Brennan.
I'm fine where I am. Henry folded his arms across his chest.
The colonel looked irritated for a second, but then he chuckled.
Another stiff-necked rebel, I see. Well, I can't say as I blame you. Losing a war must be a mighty hard thing.
The war's not over yet.
It might as well be, Avery caught himself. But I'm not here to argue with you. Like I said, I have a proposition for you. We'd like for you to take your old job back, Mr. Brennan.
That took Henry by surprise. He tried not to show it.
You want me to be sheriff again?
That's right. Culpeper and the rest of the county will remain under military jurisdiction, of course, but it's only a matter of time until the war ends. When it does, some sort of new government will have to be established that will be able to work with the army to maintain peace. We could bring in people from up north, of course, to run the civilian end of things, and I'm sure some of that will be done, but we'd like to have some of the natives from this area working with us, too.
Traitors, you mean?
Henry practically spat the words out.
Not at all. Not traitors to the legally established and divinely ordained government of the United States of America. All you would have to do is sign a loyalty oath.
Go to hell,
Henry said. Avery took a deep breath. His hand moved toward the flap of the holster on his hip.
How dare you,
he said through clenched teeth.
I could shoot you down right now, you damned rebel, and no one would ever question me.
Henry knew that was true. He heard feet shifting nervously behind him. The lieutenant cleared his throat.
Colonel, maybe this wasn't a good idea.
Shut up, Avery roared. I've tried to be polite to this goddamn Peckerwood, but he wouldn't have any of it.
You're right about that part anyway, Colonel,
Henry said with a faint, bleak smile.
I don't want any of your damn federal government.
You had your chance. Get out of my sight, Brennan, or I will kill you.
Henry didn't stand around and argue. He turned and stalked out of the office. Keller hurried behind him, catching up with him in the corridor.
You shouldn't have done that, he said.
He sounded genuinely concerned. Not that Henry cared one way or the other whether he was.
The colonel isn't a good man to cross.
Henry stopped and turned to face the lieutenant.
You really think I'm going to turn on my own people like that? Would you, if the tables were turned?
I'd want to help my people, Keller said. By working with us, you'd be in a position to do so.
Henry shook his head.
Sometimes there are some things a man just can't stomach.
Keller!
Colonel Avery called from inside the office. The lieutenant looked uncertain what to do next. Hurriedly, he said to Henry,
You'll have to get back to your farm as best you can, I'm afraid. I can't offer you a horse.
Wouldn't take it if you did. Henry knew he was being a little hard on Joseph Keller, who seemed to want to be friendly. War didn't leave any room for such things as friendliness between enemies, though. Keller went back into the colonel's office while Henry left the courthouse. Several Yankees loitered outside the building, including Sergeant McCafferty. The sergeant straightened as Henry came down the courthouse steps.
Where's the lieutenant?
Inside. Henry jerked a thumb over his shoulder. In the colonel's office.
What are you doing running around loose, Reb?
Henry looked coldly at McCafferty.
I'm going back to my farm. My business with the colonel is done.
He started past the sergeant. McCafferty reached out and stopped him by grabbing his arm.
Not so fast. We ain't in the habit of letting enemy spies run around behind our lines.
Henry wanted to jerk his arm out of McCafferty's grip. He wanted to smash a fist into the man's face. But what he did was stand there, and force his voice to remain calm as he said, "I'm not a spy."
"I don't know about that."
Some of the other soldiers began to crowd around the two of them.
"Maybe we better take you down to the livery stable and, question you for a while. What do you think of that idea, Reb?"
Henry knew that if he allowed McCafferty and the other Yankees to get him out of sight, they would beat him to death just for the fun of it. He said,
"I'm not a spy. Colonel Avery and Lieutenant Keller both said for me to go home."
That wasn't quite true. Avery had just said for Henry to get out of his sight. He doubted the colonel would care if McCafferty and the others stomped the life out of him.
"Sergeant, let go of that man."
The sharp command came from the top of the courthouse steps. Without looking, Henry recognized Keller's voice. For a second, he thought McCafferty was going to ignore the order. Then the sergeant gave him an ugly grin and let go of his arm.
"Another day," McCafferty said under his breath. "Don't forget, Reb."
"I won't," Henry promised.
He was beginning to understand why Titus felt that the only way to deal with all Yankees was to kill them on sight. Keller came briskly down the steps and hustled Henry away from the group of soldiers.
"I'm going to get a horse for you and ride back out to your farm with you," he said. "Otherwise, I'm afraid you won't reach there alive."
"I reckon you're probably right about that."
Keller looked over at him.
"You don't seem too worried about that possibility."
Henry shrugged and shook his head.
"When everything else has been taken away, the man's life don't seem to mean all that much anymore."
Her mother was going to worry herself into a state, if she wasn't careful, Cordelia thought, as she watched Abigail Brannon fidget around the farmhouse kitchen. It was probably too late for that, she amended. Her mother was already in a state. She had been ever since she had returned to the house and found Henry gone, taken away by the Yankees. Cordelia sat at the table with Louisa Abernathy. Louisa was a few years older, and though she had red hair like Cordelia, hers was several shades darker and more tightly curled. Raised a Quaker in the Midwest, Louisa had deserted her faith and her family to help Titus escape from Camp Douglas and return home to Virginia. Even though Titus was gone now, the Brannon family had opened their home to her and welcomed her to stay as long as she wanted. Cordelia knew from painful conversations she'd had with the older woman that Louisa considered what she'd done to be a betrayal of her beliefs. Louisa believed that her actions had condemned her to damnation. Cordelia had a hard time seeing things that way. As a good Baptist, she knew that God could be vengeful and terrible in his righteous wrath. But helping a man to escape from a hellish captivity and make his way back home to his family, Cordelia had a hard time seeing how that could be such an awful sin, even though things hadn't really turned out the way anyone would have liked. Abigail turned away from the stove and said to Cordelia,
"Why did you let him go? Why did you let them take him?"
Cordelia felt a flash of anger at her mother.
"How could I have stopped them?" she asked. "I'm sure there was nothing Cordelia could do," Louisa said. "Or Henry either, for that matter. He had to go with them."
"They're going to kill him,"
Abigail fretted as she paced over to the table.
"I just know they are. They're going to take him away from me, just like they did Will."
The death of her oldest son had devastated Abigail, Cordelia knew. Yet she couldn't help but remember when Abigail herself had driven Will away, telling him he was no longer a member of the family. They had patched things up before it was too late, thank goodness. But the grief over Will's death didn't belong to Abigail alone. Cordelia mourned for him too, and she had to force herself not to resent her mother's attitude. Abigail took a seat at the table. Louisa reached over to clasp her hand.
"I'm sure Henry will be all right. From what Cordelia said, it sounds like the soldiers just wanted to talk to him."
"They didn't have to take him into town to do that. They're probably going to try to get him to sign a loyalty oath since he was the sheriff. They did that before and he refused. They'll put him in front of a firing squad this time. I just know it."
Cordelia and Louisa exchanged helpless glances. Nothing they could say was going to make any difference to Abigail until Henry returned. The sound of hoofbeats made all three women look sharply toward the door. Abigail leapt from her chair and rushed out of the kitchen.
"Maybe he's come back,"
she prayed. Cordelia and Louisa hurried after her. Dusk was approaching. The sun had set not long before, dropping below the crest of the Blue Ridge Mountains to the west, but there was still enough light for Cordelia to see Henry dismounting from a horse in front of the house. The lieutenant who had led the patrol earlier was with him. The young officer touched gauntleted fingers to the brim of his campaign cap as Abigail, Cordelia, and Louisa came onto the porch. "Good evening, ladies," he said.
"Henry!"
Abigail threw her arms around her son in a fierce hug that clearly made Henry uncomfortable.
"Thank the Lord you're back. I was sure those devils had killed you."
Cordelia watched the lieutenant and saw the brief grimace that came over his face at Abigail's words. He didn't look devilish, she thought. In fact, he reminded her somewhat of a little boy with that friendly face and the shock of sandy hair under his cap. At the same time, he was definitely a grown man, and a rather handsome one at that. Her eyes widened in shock as she realized what she was thinking. He was a Yankee, for heaven's sake. It didn't matter what he looked like, or even that he was trying to act polite. "I'd advise you to stay close to home, Mr. Brennan," the lieutenant said to Henry. "As long as you do, you should be safe. We don't make war on civilians, and as you told me, you've never been in the Confederate Army. Even if you had been, you would have had to give your parole before you were allowed to return home." Henry gently disengaged himself from his mother's embrace and turned to face the Union officer. "Then you're convinced I'm not a spy?" "Of course. Tell that to Sergeant McCafferty." "I'll give McCafferty orders to stay away from this farm. Don't worry about that." Lieutenant Keller touched the brim of his cap again and nodded to the women. "Ladies." He wheeled his horse and rode away, leading the mount that Henry had ridden out from Culpeper.
"Are you all right, Henry?"
Abigail asked, clutching his arm.
"Those despicable Yankees did hurt you."
"I'm fine," he assured her. "They just tried again to get me to sign a loyalty oath." Cordelia knew her brother very well, and she had a feeling that something else had happened, something Henry didn't want to tell her mother. She didn't say anything, though. If there was no immediate threat, she preferred to let the matter drop. Abigail had worried enough already today. The four of them started into the house. "That young lieutenant seemed almost nice," Louisa said. "He's a Yankee," Henry said, clearly dismissing the very idea that Lieutenant Joseph Keller might be nice. Cordelia agreed. She would never have anything positive to say about a Yankee. Never.